It's the fourth Sunday of Lent. It's a period of reflection and repentance as we approach Holy Week and Resurrection Sunday. And last week we concluded the three-part series where we looked at the traditional pillars of Lent, of fasting and prayer and almsgiving. And we looked at the scriptural basis for these practices and also considered Jesus' own teachings as we seek to take intentional steps to prepare ourselves for the blessing of the resurrection. This is also the first day of daylight savings. Well, how are you feeling? Well rested? Because we shut down an hour early last night in preparation? Or are you feeling a little cheated out of an hour of sleep last night? Yeah. Right? They always feel like you get that extra hour, but no one ever brags about how we give it back in the spring. But I do love that you get home at the end of the day and the sun's still up. There's something nice about that. Perhaps you can see where I'm going with this morning's message. As we dig into the heart of today's message, adjusting our spiritual clocks, let's turn our attentions to Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, where the Apostle Paul urges us. He says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." This passage is our scripture to remember this week, and it also serves as a timely reminder that our lives, much like our clocks, require regular adjustment to ensure that we are living in harmony with God's divine timing. Just as we might spring forward or fall back to better utilize daylight, so too we must adjust our spiritual lives to ensure we are walking in the light of God's will. And the first step to doing this is to engage in a thoughtful self-examination. These aren't fun to look at ourselves in the mirror that closely. But reflection is at the heart of the Lenten season as we consider ourselves and our ways and we realize that we need what God offers us through Jesus by way of forgiveness. This involves a prayerful reflection on our lives, asking ourselves if there are areas where we have been resistant to God's timing. And I don't know if you're like me, that's probably the one that's a little tougher, right? I can do God's will, but his timing sometimes I have issue with. Perhaps we've grown impatient waiting for an answer to a prayer. God, I know you're going to answer. Now would be good. Or we've moved ahead with our plans without seeking God's direction. God, I know this is what you want, so I'm just going to do it. Right? Anybody else guilty of that? Psalm 139:23 gives us the words for prayers in time like this. It says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting." You see, once we've identified areas where our timing is out of sync with God's, the next step is repentance. This isn't merely feeling sorry for our impatience or self-reliance. It's actually turning away from our own timing and turning towards God, trusting in his perfect timing for our lives. Acts 3:19 encourages, it says, "Repent then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." I'm going to say that again and stop at a couple parts, right? Repent then and turn to God, right? We're turning away and we're returning to God so that your sins may be wiped out, right? This is the reason, so that our sins may be wiped out. And it's a list. That times of refreshing may come from where? The Lord. So that our sins can be wiped out and the times of refreshing will come from the Lord. Finally, adjusting our spiritual clocks requires a commitment to actively seek and follow God's timing. It's not just forgoing our own way, but saying, "God, what is it you want me to do and when?" And this means things like prioritizing prayer and reading scripture and engaging in the community of believers who can support and guide us in determining what's God's will, right? So we want to do the right thing. We do. And sometimes we don't have a clear image of that. God uses other people in our lives to help us understand and to guide us. And we'll get more into detail on that in a few minutes. We often talk about the transformation of Saul to Paul. I think for me, it's very instrumental in the message of Scripture because we know who Jesus is and he led this good and perfect life. And that's our example. But when I look at myself and say, is it possible to do that? I have to think of people like David or Saul who became Paul and go, God used some people who made some bad choices, who maybe weren't fully in tune with his will, you know, until God did something powerful in their life. And the transformation of Saul to Paul is a powerful example of what it means to adjust our spiritual clock. Saul's life was dramatically out of sync with God's will. It was completely disconnected. Yet through a direct encounter with Christ, he was able to make a complete turnaround. His story is a testament to the transformative power of aligning our lives with God's timing, showing us that no matter how far away we stray, it's never too late, and we're never too far away to make the necessary adjustments. And we need to understand, and I would say we need to trust also, that there is an intelligence to God's will and timing. Even if we don't understand the purposes, in fact, Scripture tells us we will not always understand. It is not for us to know. We can't always comprehend that. We need to understand that there is an intelligence, and we need to trust in that. And my friends, that is what we call faith. In Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, Solomon reminds us of the sovereignty of God's power over time. It says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the seas, under the heavens. And it goes through this dissertation of these things. And I can't do it without thinking of the bird song. And I'm sorry if I just put that in your head, right? But there's a time and season for everything. Every season under heaven is crafted with divine intentionality, a purpose. From moments of birth to moments of death, from planting to uprooting, this passage encourages to embrace God's timing, whatever that is. The Greek word is kairos, the appointed time in God's purpose. Even when it doesn't align with our expectations or desires, that is the perfect moment in time that God has established for this. And I've talked about the difference between kairos time and chronos time. Chronos makes sense, right? That's physical time. Kairos is deeper. You don't have to go very far in the Bible. You get in the book of Genesis, we find Abraham and Sarah. They waited decades for God to fulfill his promise of a son. It's not like they wanted a son. They knew God said, you will have a son. And here's where we go. That would be good. I mean, you said, I know it's your will. And despite their moments of doubt and impatience, God's timing proved perfect because Isaac was born at the precise moment that God had planned, highlighting the faithfulness of God and his timing. And this story, if you want to read it, it's found in Genesis 21. Like the daylight that we can't change, we can only adjust our schedules around it. We must line up our lives with God's time. There can be a spiritual disorientation that occurs when our lives are not aligned with the Holy Spirit. There is a contrast between the fruits of living in the Spirit, right? The things that we feel that we can't help but feel when we're doing it right. Goodness, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness. There's a contrast between those things we feel when we're in alignment and the consequences of following our own timing and desires. The story of the Israelites wandering the desert is recorded in Numbers 14. Their inability, actually their unwillingness to trust God and the timing resulted in a delay of reaching the promised land. Again, not because it wasn't ready for them, but because they weren't ready for it. The more you whine and complain and fall for your temptations, the more God was going to say, I guess you're not ready for what's good for you, right? I'd like to think that we aren't needing those lessons still today, but I know from my own life that there are times when God says, you're not ready. Fear not, because we've not only been given the warning examples of what not to do, we were given a model of what to do. The life of Jesus Christ is our perfect example of aligning with God's timing and his will. Throughout his ministry, Jesus acted in complete synchronization with his Father's will. He often retreated for prayer and to seek direction. This is God's own son, God in the flesh, and he needed to stay connected. How much more do we? His statement from John 7:6, he says, my time has not yet come. My time. This reflects his deep commitment to moving only in God's appropriate times. And his professing, not my will, but yours be done, exemplifies perfect submission. Not my time, but yours. We're challenged to adjust our spiritual clocks. Paul's letter to the Romans highlights the urgency of waking from what he described as a spiritual slumber. This is found in Romans 13, 11 through 14. It says, and do this, understanding the present time. These are his instructions. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because your salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And how much nearer are we now? Verse 12, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think of how to gratify the desires of the flesh. I love that. Clothe yourselves, right? Wrap yourself, surround yourself, warm yourself, protect yourself, clothe yourself. This passage calls us to recognize that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed, and to live in the light of Christ's imminent return. This urgency should motivate us to live lives that are holy and pleasing to God, shedding deeds of darkness, right? And do this now. Again, it's Paul's own testimony that dramatically illustrates the power of a spiritual awakening. Once he was an enemy of Christians, but Paul's encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus changed the course of his life and every life since, including ours as we open the Bible and we read the letters attributed to Paul. His transformation is a powerful testimony to the immediate and life-altering adjustment that occurs when we align our spiritual clock with God's timing. You can't help but have that happen. You can't. There are powerful testimonies being established still today. And we often think of people with stories like Paul's who seemingly couldn't be any further from God's will. And they're redeemed, right? These dramatic turns around their lives. We hear stories of convicted criminals who are serving time isolated from society, but find their redemption through the work of prison ministries. These are dramatic stories. But I want you to know there are stories all around us, much less dramatic in that sense, but just as important in spiritual sense. People just like you and I, carrying their burdens and their shame. They're trapped by negative self-talk, addictions of all types, cycles that seemingly can't be broken, or decisions that can't be unmade. Some may not even realize that is what they're suffering because they haven't compared the will to God's. They just know something's not right. They're not happy. In preparing for this week's message, I started reading and watching testimonies. And I came across a story of a man by the name of Brandon Watkins. If you pass him the aisles at Walmart, at his lowest moment even, you may not have thought a thing about him. He's just a guy. But this story is more common than we'd like to believe. I was going to share the video, but I think in the interest of time, I'm going to just describe it. And I'll try to do it justice. He seemingly had it all, right? By worldly standards. I mean, he was happy. He was content. He had a wife. He had daughters. He had a great job. I mean, he was a worship leader in a church. Now, that may not be the ideal job for everybody, but if you have a talent to sing and you love your Lord, I mean, and you can make a living doing it, what a wonderful job, right? But he had a secret that a lot of people share. He was sinning. He had sin in his life. And I can tell you what that sin is, but I don't want you to focus on what that sin was. Because we would make the mistake of saying, well, that's bad and I haven't done that, or I wouldn't do that particular thing. But remember that God says, well, he tells us what he thinks of sin of any kind. More importantly, what sin is, and that is a disconnection from him. Brandon started his story with a single line. He said, repentance is first, just getting honest with yourself, right? That is step one, right? And I think every of the 10-step programs, I think they say the same thing, right? The first thing is being honest. Being honest. God knew what Brandon was doing and what he had done. So why does he need to examine himself? Why does he need to repent? God knows. Because repentance is preceded by confession. There has to be something said that I acknowledge and I'm sorry. Right? Those are the steps. He wasn't saying it because God needed to know. Brandon needed to know and remind himself that this is not okay. And Brandon described repentance as replacing whatever you're dealing with, replacing that with Jesus. And this is the underlying premise of Advent season, right? As we make room for the coming of Jesus. And this is the premise of Lent, as we remove the things that take up space and time and priority in our lives and replace them with Jesus and thoughts of Jesus. I mean, that is why we fast. That's why we give our alms. That's why we give things away so they don't become an entanglement for us. It's not just about sharing joy, but relieving ourselves of some of the worldly burden that might inordinately take priority in our lives, even if we don't mean it to. Even good things can take up time and space in our lives in places it shouldn't. Kyle Idleman wrote a book called Gods at War. And the most profound thing in his book that I thought was all the things he listed, they're absolutely wonderful, but can still get in the way of your relationship with God because you just make it the wrong priority. He wants to bless you with all the wonderful things you enjoy just in the proper place. So just as we adjust our clocks to effectively manage our physical time, we need to adjust our spiritual clocks, these things that are important to us, the things we look to often, and align them with God's will and timing, ensuring that we're living in harmony, in sync with his plans for our lives. And what I took from Brandon's story were three steps. It's going to be oversimplified, but three steps that seem to compose the act of realigning. First is self-examination, then repentance, and then commitment. Right? Self-examination involves a prayerful reflection of our lives. And these are hard conversations. God, show me, reveal to me, ouch, what it is. Is there something that we've been resisting God in his timing and his control? Perhaps we've grown impatient waiting for an answer, right? Or we've moved on, right? There it is again, the things that catch us up. And if you didn't write it down earlier, do so now, because we often wonder what we should pray in these moments. And I love Psalm 139, 23 through 24. This is what I said earlier. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, right? Really get in there, God, and see what's really bothering me, even if I don't realize it. See if there's any offensive way in me. Is there anything that I'm doing that I shouldn't be, worrying about that I shouldn't, and lead me in the way everlasting? Such a simple prayer, Psalm 139, 23 through 24. And once we've identified these areas where our timing is out of sync with God, the next step is repentance. And again, it's not merely feeling sorry for ourselves. It's turning away and turning towards. Acts 3:19 encourages, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. The times of refreshing may come from the Lord. There's that verse again. Finally, adjusting your spirit clocks requires a commitment. An intentional dedication to actively seek and follow God's timing. This means putting things like prayer and scripture reading and the community in our lives. And as we make these adjustments, we align ourselves more closely with God's plans, opening our hearts to the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we've all sinned. We've all sinned, and we all need what Jesus so freely offers us. So we should be encouraged by the promise that God's timing is perfect. By aligning these things with his divine timing, it opens ourselves up to a life of greater peace and purpose and fulfillment. God has plans for each one of us. He has hopes for you, and he calls you by name. I have a hope for you. I have a plan for you, and I promise it is good. And this isn't just my words written for a sermon. This is God's own promise to you. He put it in writing as well. There is a peace, joy, and fulfillment that comes from living in sync because you're getting out of the way of him fulfilling your promises. Now, he's going to get his way. But look what he did to Jonah, right? I want you to go to Nineveh. I'd rather not. I want you to go to Nineveh, Jonah, right? And we know this from Bible study or like VBS, right? The big fish comes. God's going to get his way, but isn't it so much more enjoyable? Isn't it so much more rewarding? Isn't it so much more of a blessing when we do what we should be doing and just get out of his way so it goes so much easier? As we return to our homes today and we go back, we adjust the non-smart clocks in our house, right? The ovens and the microwaves. It should be a kind of a physical reminder of the deeper spiritual adjustment that we're called to make. That every now and then, even the things that we rely on, like my watch, I should never have to set it ever in my life, right? Because it's smart. Because someone else is telling what time it is. Making sure we're setting these things to the time that really matters. So look at what you're setting your life with. What you're calibrating your good, your bad, and acceptable to. My prayer is that we seek to align our clocks with God's timing, trusting that he makes all things beautiful in his time, just like he promised. So let's move forward from this place, not with hesitancy, not with delay. You know, we're not panicked, but we're urgent. We're ready to experience the blessing so that we're in God's divine rhythm. Let's make that our prayer. Heavenly Father, no matter how we feel about the changing of our clocks, whether it's something we enjoy as we see the extending of the daylight and the day. We come home from our work and our errands and the things we do, and there's still day to enjoy, to finish the things we like doing and the things that we need to be doing. Whether we look at it that way or look at being robbed an hour of sleep or whatever it may be, there's still an adjustment that we make for the next couple of days. But what a good physical reminder that we can only adjust ourselves around the things that are unchangeable. We can change the time on our clock, but the sun rises and the sun sets. Lord, you have plans for us. You have prayers for us. You have good things for us. And if we're aligning in our lives, if we're calibrating our moral compass to the wrong things, then we're missing out. The good is still the good. The bad is still the bad. We're just on the wrong side of these things. Lord, I'm going to offer up this risky prayer as we ask you to reveal some of the things that need to maybe be bumped back into alignment. Not with condemnation, but with conviction. Not because they are inherently bad, but because you are so much better. Not because we're bad people, but sometimes we make wrong choices. Lord, give us guidance where we need it, patience where we require it, and Lord, discipline even too. We thank you for the gift of the cross. As we continue approaching the cross, help us to continue to prepare for it so that we can get that full, genuine reminder of the beauty of that symbol that was supposed to be shameful. But to us, it means hope. Hope for a future, promise of a relationship, and all the good things that includes. We thank you, Lord, for this. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.